direct action, marching, protesting, it's up to them to continue to struggle, continue to fight. Because the retrenchment on the civil rights that were legislated in the 60s are now, that's still going on. It's stronger than it ever was, in my opinion. We have legislation, we have laws on the books, but the reality is that for people of color in America, you still can't get a loan from a bank. You still have issues in terms of where you'd like to live. There's still roadblocks and walls that keep us apart. So, yeah, it's still a struggle. It'll always be, as long as we are in America. And I think that it's important for us as the elders to teach our children, to teach young people. And I think that that is going to be what our role is, because we remember what it was like. We've seen advances. We've seen progress in many, many respects. But then you look at what happened with Tyre Nichols
right. In
Memphis. And I tell you, man, those cops, they would have fit right into Harold Breyer's squad back in the 60s.
Fred, people who are listening may not believe that, but what those guys did used to happen with law enforcement in the city of Milwaukee. They used to have what they call an elevator ride. Remember that?
That's right. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Fred.
The police repression that took place in Milwaukee during that period of time was so ingrained, you know, in the psyche of people of color, black people, that
terrifying.
You knew where not to be.
Yes.
Even though they didn't have those sundown laws in the South, in the North, you knew where not to be after a certain period of time. And we learned very, very quickly where you could go and where you could not go. And if you went there, you should go in a group so that, you know, there would be witnesses.
So, Fred, you just talked about something called a sundown law. In this state, in the state of Wisconsin, let's talk about what a sundown law was, because some may argue it still exists.
Oh, absolutely. The sundown laws originated in the South. And basically, there were towns where it was posted on billboards and signs. Colored people, be at home or be out of town by sundown, or you would get arrested. And if you got arrested, you'd be in jail, and you would get your butt kicked.
Right.
And that was the reality. And, you know, we know all about, you know, the Green Book and the travels that black folk took from various places in the country when they were traveling in the South, you know, during the heights of segregation. And that was a reality in Milwaukee. I mean, in Wisconsin. You knew what was going on. And, you know, remember the Posse Comitatus?
Yes, you know.
Yes, that started in Wisconsin. And it was basically, you know, armed white folk who wanted to keep black folk from leaving, you know, the city of Milwaukee or wherever black folks live and going north, going up north. So that is a real history of racism in Wisconsin and in this country.
So,
and
Fred,
it still persists.
And the thing is, what people should know is we're not talking about 100 years ago, right?
No.
No, you know, it's pretty recent history. And yet, you know, Wisconsin's still one of the most segregated states in the United States. It has not changed from that perspective. And since black people only make up 5% of the population in the state, you always hear that people are afraid in the state, you know, of black people. But Fred, why? I mean, what have black people done in the state of Wisconsin to impact and affect whites across the state? Do you know of any situations where we've gone into these different areas, segregated areas of the state, and pounced upon white people, raped white women, or you know, robbed?
Oh no, that's never been the case, and it never will be the case. And as a result, the fear mongering that has existed throughout this country's history is still being perpetrated in many respects. You know, as I spoke about the critical race theory controversy, you know, that's a symptom of that. Why would you not want to teach people about history and not include what happened to people of color in this country? And now you want to spare white people's feelings, white children's feelings, because, Earl, the controversy is so ridiculous. The courses that are being offered at the college level, because I don't know about you, but I really learned about history, about our history, you know, when I went to college.
So, Fred, hang on.
I was in high school, man, we never studied history.
So let's bring some...
We never studied slavery.
Fred, let's bring some callers on quickly. Let's go to Cassandra from Madison. Hey, good morning, Cassandra. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah, oh, Fred, I am very much enjoying your commentary today. There are two points that I would like to get your opinion on. Number one, I agree with you about the African-Americans studies class. I did not get that information on the history of my ancestors until I enrolled in a course in college and also in graduate school. However, I think what the media is doing, they're not disclosing the full information about the course. DeSantis, he is a bigot, in my personal opinion. However, the course developers, they did not follow the instructions about what the state had wanted for the course. They wanted an African-American history class, not an African-American studies class. So some of the units that they were offering, it really did not meet the standards. I'm a professor. Whenever I design a course, I have to abide by the program and the course objectives, and the individuals who wrote the course, they really didn't do that. My second point that I want to ask you is, if you've been following the migrant protest movement in New York, and here is something that concerns me as an African-American female. The migrants who are out there protesting in New York because they do not want to move into what they feel are inferior accommodations, those migrants, they have that right to protest because our ancestors in the civil rights movement fought for their ability to exercise their free voice. Now, as African Americans, we are not getting involved in the immigration argument, and it is having an impact, especially on black males in employment in construction and the other trades. And so I just like to get your point of view, and I'm going to listen off the air because I have to get ready for work, but very much enjoying your commentary.
Hey, Cassandra, thank you very much for the call. Fred, hang on. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Gospel and everything.
Hey, brother. Hey, come here, Slick. Huh? Hey, you look hip, man. Hey, you want to make yourself $5, man?
Yeah, brother.
Hey, look here. Run this car speed for me right quick, okay? Run this car speed for me.
I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
A jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on. Get in that cell, nigger.
God. No.
His hair is long. His feet are hard and threading. Almost dead from breathing.
comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today. 855-954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson & Wachs. GTWLawyers.com.
Look up cheese curds, you'll find this basic definition. Wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, so did you guess it takes 10 pounds of milk to make 1 pound of curds? Now we want to know your favorite and where do you get your squeaky or deep fried curds? Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Apple pie, fireworks, parades, red, white, and blue. Civic Media loves 4th of July, and we hope you do too. Would your business benefit from reaching hundreds of thousands of radio listeners? Show your American pride by helping sponsor radio promos, celebrating Independence Day, listing safe fireworks displays, and honoring military veterans. If your business would like to be involved, email your name and phone number to info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Attorney Fred Gordon is on the line. Fred, you want to respond to Cassandra?
And thank her for her comments. The immigration issue is a very important issue because even though as black folk we're not necessarily involved in it to the extent that others may be, we clearly understand its import. And here in North Carolina, where I live, it's a major issue because immigrants and Latin folks from other countries have come to North Carolina, and they're doing the jobs that black folk used to do. And that's something that certainly should spur, you know, some conversation, because it certainly is talked about here. And it's very apparent. I've noticed that I've lived now for 8 years. And it's one of the first things that I noticed when I moved here. And that is something that obviously is going to be debated and dealt with on the border. But those folks are moving throughout the South. And, you know, they're taking the jobs and they're doing the kind of work that black folk used to do, but don't do anymore. And, of course, they're doing it for less money in many respects. But, you know, for them, coming from where they came from, it's a major move up. So it's something that we should pay attention to because I think that there's a lot of similarity between how they're being oppressed and how we're being oppressed.
You know, Fred, she also talked about the CRT, and you mentioned something about that earlier.
Yes.
Now, she's a professor, and
I believe I know her. I recognized her voice.
Okay. So, but
yeah, no. What's happening with the CRT, man? It's incredible.
Yeah,
I was listening to D.L. Hughley last night, and he made a statement about the fact that white folks are now trying to prevent us from learning about our history when in the 50s, before Brown versus the Board of Education, they didn't want us to learn anything. So you see the dichotomy that's taken place just in a, like we were saying earlier, in a relatively short period of time.
You know, Fred, and the fact that it's acceptable. Let's do this. Let's bring Tom from L.A. Tom, quickly.
Well, I want to say this conversation is excellent. I didn't realize, being someone that was from the northwestern part of Wisconsin, that there was an actual kind of movement to not allow black people actually to move up into the northern part of Wisconsin. I think that people sometimes in Wisconsin think because, they love the Green Bay Packers and most of those guys are black, that means that they're not racist. Whereas if they had a family that was moving from Milwaukee into their small little rural area, maybe it would have an issue. I don't know. It seems to me that there need to be more people from Milwaukee and maybe more black people need to move into these areas. So therefore, people will actually, not fear out of some tripped up stereotype or some type of crazy ideas that they have. But it's the fear that's holding them back. And I think we do need to integrate by actually, getting more people, seen other than just the Green Bay Packers on their Sunday, black people in the upper part of the, Midwest and in the upper part of the northwestern part of Wisconsin.
Hey, Tom, man, thank you very much for the call. Fred?
I think he's right in the sense that the perception of how we as citizens interact with each other is certainly buttressed by what we see and what we hear through the media. And, shows like this, forums, anything that we can do to educate each other, because it's not just black folks trying to educate white people. It's black folks educating black folks.
Yes.
It's black folks educating Latin people and vice versa. Education is the key because knowledge is power, as the saying goes. And before you can get power, you have to know what power is.
So let's do this. So, Fred, listen, I'm going to be reaching out to you again because there's so much more dialogue for us to have, man. I want to thank you very much for taking out the time. But I'm going to be reaching out again. We're just beginning the month, and I need to have your voice heard more. You be willing to do that?
Oh, always a pleasure, brother. We only have 26 days, yeah. 27 days.
But we're going to use them well. Thank you very much, man.
We got to use them. We got to use them.
All right, got to run.
All right, brother.
All right, we'll be back.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back.
Hey, Earl, do you hear me? Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, Did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
What if one day you went to your secret hiding place, you know, that spot that only you know about, and instead of what you came for, you found something a little different? What if instead of your private stash, you found a simple phone number, 1-800-662-HELP? What would you do? Would you stop and give it some thought? Would you make the call? The truth is, all drug use comes with risk. Before those risks become real, before drugs turn your life upside down, before drugs take their toll on you and your family, know that there is help. You can quit. If you or someone you love is struggling with drug use or prescription drug misuse, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, or go to samhsa.gov/thereishelp.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Allison Keyes in Washington. That tense situation in Russia as armed mercenary troops marched on Moscow is over for now. Wagner leader Yevgeny Prigozhin has recalled his troops, saying he wants to avoid bloodshed. Russian President Putin had vowed harsh punishment. CBS's Ian Lee.
Russian President Vladimir Putin had previously been silent as a war of words waged between Prigozhin and defense officials. But today, he went on television to describe Prigozhin's actions as a knife in the back of the country and its people. Overnight, the Kremlin tightened security at key facilities around the country, and Moscow woke up to a state of emergency.
Former CBS News Moscow Bureau Chief Beth Noble with her take on the situation.
I'm a little surprised that Prigozhin is doing this because he is putting his very life on the line. And he's had a pretty good life. He's probably a billionaire. He's made money hand over fist.
Back in the U.S., demonstrations from anti- and pro-abortion rights supporters 1 year after Roe v. Wade was overturned. There's a patchwork of laws around the nation now, with many southern states banning or restricting abortion. CBS's Christina Ruffini.
1 year after the overturn of Roe v. Wade, President Biden told a room full of abortion rights supporters the fight isn't over.
We fight to restore these protections of Roe v. Wade and make it the law of the land once again, and we're going to do that.
Earlier in the day, he signed an executive order aimed at strengthening access to contraception. But without the federal protections of Roe or congressional action, the protective power of the president is limited.
There is joy in Philadelphia as I-95 is open again after a 12-day closure. Governor Josh Shapiro credited everyone involved for getting this fixed quickly along this crucial major highway, saying it shows when we work together, we can get things done in Pennsylvania. I-95 was shut down June 11th after a tanker truck overturned and caught fire, causing a partial collapse of the overpass. There's more misery on tap for those in Texas living with no electricity amid record-breaking heat. Plus, the region just went through days of severe weather. Bob Orovec at the National Weather Service.
Well, the actual temperatures across Texas, where it's been the hottest recently, are going to remain in the 105 to 110 degree range going forward. And then when you combine in the higher dew points across that area, higher relative humidities, we're going to have heat indices that are going to be in the 110 to 120 degree range.
The CDC says it's tracking several new COVID-19 variants that adds more Omicron versions of the deadly virus that are going around the nation. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
I can't wait for what's next. Even with higher stroke risk due to atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem, Eliquis, apixaban tablets, reduces stroke risk. It's the number one cardiologist prescribed blood thinner.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without talking to your doctor, as this may increase your risk of stroke. Eliquis can cause serious and, in rare cases, fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or have antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding or unusual bruising, or if you have tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. It may increase your bleeding risk if you take medicines such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186. 954-1186.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight, otherwise overcast. Lows level off around 62. Winds out of the southeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely. Highs level off around 74. Cloudy skies tomorrow night, scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows dip down to about 59. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 88.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
We have an opener, I swear. We've got an opener. No, no. Like, we gotta roll with it. We gotta roll with it, Luke. Come on, buddy. It's Friday.
It's Friday. All right, folks. Welcome to Dueling Tangents. My name is Luke Mathers. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media here in Madison, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side for Mad Radio, 92.7 FM, WMDX, 1580 AM, and around the state of Wisconsin on a Civic Media radio station near you. You can find out where
recording
all of those radio
stations
are across the Civic Media Network by heading over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. But around the state, the Shaw and Waukesha, Talk of Green Bay and Green Bay, and so many more. And it's Friday, so we will take your tangents on just about anything. We're going to get to the most Wisconsin headline of the week coming up a little bit later. But to start today's show, we are joined by State Representative Francesca Hung, representing the 76th Assembly District in the State Assembly. Francesca, how are we doing on this Friday afternoon?
I'm doing well, Luke. Please call me Fran.
I always feel like I got to get the formal introduction out there first, though.
I generally make just the Republicans call me Representative Hung, so we're amongst friends today, right?
Well, appreciate that, Fran. I'm really glad that you have some time to take out of your Friday afternoon to join me here on the airwaves. The big guy, Brian, wanted to be here, but he insists he will be stopping by the restaurant for either a late lunch or dinner. I don't know the exact timing, but he's planning to swing over there and get some ramen so that he can count that as his visit with you today.
I love that. Sending Brian all the good vibes. The team will absolutely take care of him.
Perfect. Well, we appreciate you joining us. And we've got just a couple of things going on here in the state of Wisconsin these days. You know, it's an off year. I would think with the elections behind us now that we've had our spring elections, we would be waiting for a slow news day. But unfortunately, we don't really receive those here in the state of Wisconsin. It is kind of all the time coming at us. And so we've got a shared revenue proposal that's going on. We've got the budget process. And we're also in the midst right now of Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. That is the month of May. And you have a proposal that I was a little surprised when I saw this over at Madison 365, but it's a bipartisan proposal, Fran. What can you tell us about the proposal teaching Hmong history here in Wisconsin that is before the legislature?
Absolutely. So before I was in the legislature, Representative Katrina Shanklin and some of her Republican colleagues then introduced a bill that would add Asian Americans and Hmong Americans specifically to Act 31. Now, what Act 31 does is it designates that school boards include instruction on African Americans, Latinos, as well as Indigenous folks. And Asian Americans were excluded in that legislation. So what this bill does is it includes Asian Americans, and it's been introduced now, I think, over three sessions, and each time it has stalled in committee and was never given a public hearing. This year, we reintroduced it with Republicans actually as the lead author. So we have Representative Pat Snyder over in Wausau, and then Senators Corey Tomchick and Jesse James up in Central and Western Wisconsin as well. They are the primary authors. And this year, the Education Committee will be giving it a public hearing, which is an incredibly big step for us. We know that last session, it was fewer than 11% of Democratic-led bills that received, bipartisan bills that received a public hearing. So we're so excited that AB 32 will be given a public hearing in the Committee on Education. None of this would have happened without countless hours of organizing, advocacy, and engagement from students, families, school champions all across the state. But I think it goes to show that organizing works.
Yeah, it's fantastic to hear because I'm a product of the public schools here in the state of Wisconsin, and believe yourself as well.
Yes.
Yep. So it's interesting to me, though, to note through my public education that I was unaware of Wisconsin having the third highest population of Hmong Americans in our state. And so the fact that Asian American heritage and history was left out of that original provision, I think it makes perfect sense to add that in and be able to update our public school curriculum across the state of Wisconsin. And it's terrific to hear that we have a public hearing, and that's the first step. And obviously there's going to be a lot more organizing that needs to go on to continue to move that proposal forward. And it is terrific to hear that there are lead sponsors now that are of the Republican Party getting behind that, because as you noted, it was in a very, very small fraction of the proposals last session that even if they were bipartisan in nature, if they were introduced by Democratic lawmakers, they did not see those public hearings. And so we are in the midst, though, of AAPI Heritage Month. There's terrific ways for people to get more information. I've been keeping an eye on the History Channel. That's where I've been seeing a lot of the updates for Asian American Pacific Heritage Month. I know that there's a lot of newsletters going around encouraging individuals to go and support Asian businesses across the state of Wisconsin. For some listeners out there that may not have the resources or are just unaware of those resources, how can they learn more about how to participate and celebrate AAPI Heritage Month?
Well, you're welcome to visit. Our office have multiple resources via our social media pages, or you can send us an email or a DM, and we're happy to provide additional resources about Asian-owned businesses in your area. But I think what's most important to remember about Asian American stories and Asian American history is that it's distinctly American. It's distinctly Wisconsin. Our values when it comes to respecting the elders, being in community, knowing that, we are, yes, a fast-growing population, but also one that is not a monolith. And we have many diverse stories and so much to contribute to every community. So get to know folks in your Asian community. Obviously, getting small history lessons are great as well. But I think what's most important to remember is that we are here, we are leaders in communities, and that we're all across the state.
Yeah. And you yourself, the first Asian American lawmaker elected to the state legislature. And so I saw your statement on this being Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. You hope to be the first of many that come to the legislature and get to serve the state of Wisconsin. And as we are seeing right now, the process for serving the state is going through the budgeting process. Unfortunately, we had about 565 different provisions, or excuse me, 545 provisions that were removed from the Joint Finance Committee. But you yourself, a small business owner, I know that there's many organizations trying to continue to put some terrific pieces of legislation into the upcoming biennial budget for small business owners specifically. What can you tell us about the budgeting process here in the state of Wisconsin and how that's been looking for small business owners like yourself?
Yes. So as you mentioned, unfortunately, the will of the people, which was reflected in the governor's budget with his multiple listening sessions and Democrats across the state, ensuring that we were putting the priorities of the Wisconsin people, like legalizing cannabis, increasing food security, making sure that small businesses like myself were able to offer things like childcare and making investments in housing. 545 of those provisions were stripped. And now the Joint Committee on Finance are doing what we call executive sessions. And so they meet and they vote on provisions to be included in the final bill, the budget bill that will be presented to the legislature later this June. Unfortunately, one of the items that would have been incredibly beneficial to small business owners across the state was paid family and medical leave. We know that neighboring states around us, we are now an island where we don't have comprehensive paid leave policies. And as a mom, as someone who values people, taking care of their families, it's so important that folks have resources available to be able to take time off to care for their loved ones. And I think that this is really hurting small businesses' ability to be able to retain and recruit talented staff. And so although we're disappointed to see that paid leave was removed from the budget, one of the big issues we are advocating for is investment in childcare. Childcare is essential infrastructure. The people taking care of our children while parents and caregivers are working, they need raises. They need to be able to go to work in places that are providing a good environment for them so that we can take care of our youngest. And so I think this investment in childcare, you're seeing a coalition of different business bodies, including the Restaurant Association, including Main Street Alliance, that have been advocating for investment in childcare in this critical infrastructure for years. We are hoping that when the executive, when JFC meets to vote on investing the needed, the baseline $300 million for childcare accounts to make sure we don't see more childcare businesses and providers have to close. Because we're already seeing it. We're seeing what happens when we disinvest from our communities. And when there's infrastructure as critical as childcare, that impacts folks regardless of if they have kids or not. I have business owner friends who don't have kids, and they recognize how important a strong childcare infrastructure it is to make sure that we have healthier, more whole workforces and that our families are feeling supported. And so for us, we're putting as much as we can behind investment in childcare. And then for me personally right now, as a member of the Healthy School Meals for All Coalition, we were sad to see universal school meals get stripped from the budget, but we're continuing to advocate for free breakfast for all kids across our state.
Fantastic. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers, joined by State Representative Francesca Hong. And it is very important to point out, Fran, that we know some of these things are, there are policy decisions that can be made that have a concrete impact, specifically when it comes to policy surrounding children, because we cut child poverty in half at the federal level with an expanded childhood tax credit. That tax incentive cut child poverty in half. Investing in childcare and doing things for our children, we can see the real-world ramifications of what those policies have on families across the state of Wisconsin and across the United States when they're implemented. And so I think it's very important that we're investing in our children. I think it's very important that we're going to be investing in many different things in this budget. It's a biennial budget. It's a huge piece of legislation. We also know that there's a huge piece of legislation going through the state legislature right now. So we do have to head to a commercial break, but I want to pick your brain on the shared revenue proposals that are being discussed, both the Republican state lawmaker proposals and the one from Governor Tony Evers. Folks, if you want to share a tangent with us here on this Friday afternoon, you can give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. Joined by State Representative Francesca Hong, representing the 76th Assembly District in the State Assembly. And it's a beautiful Friday afternoon. So if you're on the road, you're listening along to Civic Media, share a tangent with us. We're going to continue the conversation with the representative when we get back.
Pump of our heartbeats, the pedal to our metal, the sparks that ignite us, the pistons that push us, the passions that drive us. From the feelings that move us to the places that pull us on the roads that unite us. With nearly 6,000 stores and over 17,000 auto care centers, NAPA has America's largest network of parts and care, here to keep you firing on all cylinders.
Doorman, I need you to check the voicemail today. I'm completely swamped.
Sure thing. Doorman at your service.
Hey, my garage door won't open, or only one side opens. I can't get my car through that.
My garage door motor is running, but the door doesn't move.
Sir, your photo eye sensor is clouded over, or you may have a blocked track.
Thank you, Doorman.
Your emergency manual release cord was disconnected.
Those kids!
Children are a delight. We've reconnected it. DoorWorks for the win!
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
It's Friday.
Stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
You said it, man.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. You are listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. If you want to learn more about what we're up to here as a growing radio network across the state of Wisconsin, follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, all of the socials, Civic Media. And I am joined on a Friday afternoon by Francesca Hong, state representative representing the 76th Assembly District in the State Assembly. And Francesca, we've got an interesting dilemma, it seems like, at the different state assembly and state senate Republicans finding where they are on shared revenue.
Luke. Republicans are in disarray.
But
they seem to be playing each other right now, and I am okay with that if it just wasn't at the expense of the people of Wisconsin.
Yeah, if the stakes weren't so high, I think it would be a little bit more interesting to keep an eye on. But because the stakes are so high for our local municipalities, it's very important that a piece of legislation gets sent through the state legislature and signed by Governor Tony Evers. He indicated when the Republican proposal initially came out that he was not going to be able to sign it as is. He threatened a veto, and it got Republican lawmakers having a conversation about where they could make some changes and seek some compromise. At least some of our Republican lawmakers in Wisconsin. Robin Voss is pretty much this week came out to the steps of the state capitol and said, "I'm done negotiating." He made very, very little concessions. He essentially raised the minimum threshold from 10% to 15% for funding to municipalities, but still kept in all of the strings attached for the city and county of Milwaukee to be able to accept the increases of shared revenue. And really, as I believe it was State Senator Lena Taylor saying, that it is essentially a gun to the county and city's head when it comes to finances. It's saying you need to accept this, otherwise you're going to go off a fiscal cliff. And so we'd love to just hear your thoughts that how it's been unfolding in the state capitol, in the building, about these discussions surrounding shared revenue and where you believe there may be some compromise between the Republican proposal and the proposal put forth by Democratic Governor Tony Evers.
So I think first it's really important to recognize that for the past 12 years, we have been asking our towns, our cities, our villages to do more with less. Shared revenue, the money that is coming in from taxpayers across the state, should be shared with local municipalities so they can provide vital services like fire and EMS, and making sure that local roads and stop signs and city services all function properly. But unfortunately, that formula has been broken because the state has not been distributing their fair share. It is due time that local municipalities are properly funded so that they can provide the services that Wisconsinites rely on. The governor's budget proposal for shared revenue put in a good chunk of that almost $7 billion surplus we have right now so that our local municipalities and our counties are able to provide vital services for our communities. Unfortunately, the Republicans, are saying they may be arguing in good faith and have been bringing folks to the table. But unfortunately, these negotiations have created a bill that is not ready for prime time, that is inadequate, and that is unfinished. For the speaker to say that now he is done negotiating is basically saying he's going to punt. He's evading responsibility. And it's incredibly unfortunate because these dollars that need to go to our municipalities, especially the city of Milwaukee, it is a very critical juncture. And so it's, again, to play politics instead of putting Wisconsinites first is something that we see our Republican colleagues doing all the time. I'm somewhat hopeful that the Senator Devin LeMahieu is indicated that he may take some of the policies out. But what is needed most is what the governor proposed, a clean bill that doesn't put policies into the shared revenue formula. When Republicans back in the Walker days, they would talk about local control all the time. But unfortunately, the bill in front of us undermines local control. It takes away local municipalities from doing things like putting in referendum and deciding how to use the dollars that their constituents have been paying. We want there to be autonomy for our cities, villages, and towns. They know what's best for their communities. And so ultimately, what's needed is a clean bill. What I think the compromise will be is hopefully there will be local municipalities will still have authority to do more with the dollars. We're eagerly anticipating what happens in the Senate. But I am hopeful that we are going to get much needed relief out to our local municipalities.
Yeah, and it's going to be very important to keep an eye on how the state Senate, through its public hearing in the coming days and weeks, formulates their proposal, what passes that legislative body, and how the two sides between the state assembly and state Senate will have to come together around that. And a lot of the things that happen inside the building do receive some public pressure from outside organizing, as you and I have discussed both today and many a times in your appearances in the past. What can you tell us about what's going on around the state capitol tomorrow?
Yes. And so we know that investment in our kids, they are needed now so that we have a more sustainable future for Wisconsin. When I hear my Republican colleagues not want to make investments in our children and their well-being, I wonder who do they expect to take care of them when they get older and aren't working anymore. But what's most important for our communities, rural, urban, suburban, is investment in our schools. And so there is going to be a rally tomorrow afternoon at the state capitol, Saturday, May 20th at 2 p.m. You can join other public school champions, parents, educators, community members who know how important it is to have strong public schools for our democracy, for our kids, and our communities.
Fantastic. So you can enjoy the farmers market up on the square and then go and do a little political action, maybe grab some lunch with a terrific bowl of ramen like Brian's going to try to do today for either his late lunch or early dinner. Francesca Hong, thank you so much for joining us here on Dueling Tangents. We really appreciate you taking some time out of your Friday afternoon and joining us.
Absolutely. Happy to be here. Take care.
Thanks, you too. Folks, if you want to share a tangent with us, 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Walks, GTWLawyers.com. Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget, they're made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
Lake Sherwood's 4th of July celebration will be taking place Saturday, July 1st from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. Events include a craft fair, kids' games, beanbag tournament, the Shermalot Ski Team performance at 6:30 p.m., and fireworks at dusk. Raffle tickets will also be available, with some of the giveaways including a 65-inch TV, an 8-inch tablet, and a Blackstone gas combo grill. The Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church invites you to a brat fry on Tuesday, July 4th from 3:30 to 8 p.m. Brats, hamburgers, chips, popcorn, and baked goods will all be available for purchase. Come get refreshments before the start of the fireworks.
It's go time at Chula Vista. Time for you to discover Wisconsin's most complete resort experience. 200,000 square feet of water park fun. New thrills like zip line racing. 18 holes of classic golf. Wisconsin's number one steakhouse. Hundreds of newly renovated rooms. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Chula Vista Resort is one of the nation's top 10 indoor water parks per USA Today's 2023 Reader's Choice Awards. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Pop a top and join the fun. Donate your cans today to help feed and care for the animals at the Southwood County Humane Society. Pet of the Week is brought to you by Express Recycling Solutions Incorporated, dedicated to helping our community by providing many recycling services as well as drop-off locations for cans at the Southwood County Humane Society and 480 Strodeman Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids. Express Recycling Solutions, keeping our community clean and safe.
Sandwiches are the original fast food, and what could be easier than loading up a few slices of Country Hearth multigrain bread with your favorite deli meats and cheeses, then piling on freshly picked veggies from your garden? Or maybe a good old-fashioned peanut butter and homemade strawberry jam sandwich made on Kids' Choice. This summer, when you're on your way to the lake or park, skip the drive-thru. Pack a cooler full of your favorite sandwiches instead. Country Hearth Breads, locally baked and delivered fresh daily.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Cloudy tonight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows level off around 62. Southeast winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 74. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 59. Overcast skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 91.
We're about to find out.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger. Featuring Packers legend Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram.
Saturday and Sunday at 1 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Golden faces dancing in the sand.
Welcome back to Dueling Tangents. I'm Luke Mathers. You're listening to Dueling Tangents across Civic Media. You can download the Civic Media app and take us with you on the go wherever you go this summer. It's getting ready for the holidays. We got the Memorial Day holiday coming up. Then you got the next excellent summer holidays. That is, you got Flag Day, Independence Day, all the way through Labor Day. When you're traveling throughout the summer, take us with you on the go. Download the Civic Media app. Wherever apps are downloaded, you can jump from station to station, stream to stream, and hear all the excellent programming being produced here by Civic Media. And I want to thank again State Representative Francesca Hong for joining us for that first half hour of the show. If you missed any portion of the show, you can check out the podcast. It will be posted later this afternoon. And really appreciate Francesca taking the time out of her afternoon to join us to discuss all of those topics. And interestingly, she brought up something that I want to dive into before we head over to the most Wisconsin headline of the week. And if you've got a Wisconsin headline that you want to submit for the most Wisconsin headline of the week, give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. Evan, I have a feeling you're not going to be surprised by what I got pulled for the